occupied lands ever hurtling towards complete annexation by settling Jews as the pogromists light every possible fuse. After building the settlements and burning down whatever was left of these stolen towns, now they say it's time to recognize Palestine. All Gaza has been turned to dust since Jenin has been mangled to rubble and rust. After it's established the Zionist way is to kill starving children at the dawn of each day. They take their concerns very seriously while the killers gaslight us all on BBC. Now they say it's time to recognize Palestine. When the summer is done, if all of Hamas hands over their guns, if they give up the soldiers they've held so far, if they let Jared Kushner build a five-star resort on the ruins beside the Med, after all of the Palestinians are dead, now they say it's time to recognize Palestine.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, Canada's previous federal Liberal administration promised to stay the flow of arms and other war material dealings with international scofflaw Israel. Those promises were recently revealed to have been lies, lies the current federal Liberal administration insists on reiterating. Despite the evidence, Canada has never stopped aiding Israel in its genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza and the ongoing pogrom in the rest of the occupied Palestinian territories. More shamefully than this, perhaps, is the silent acquiescence to this complicity by the near entirety of our Canadian House of Parliament. Alex Tyrrell is the longtime leader of the Green Party of Quebec, an activist and eco-socialist. Alex also hosts the bilingual YouTube podcast show La Mentalité Verte, or The Eco Mindset in English, and contributes essays to a variety of publications in French and English, in print and online. He's been a loud and constant critic of Canada's political and institutional cooperation with Israel, including the recent Carney announcement his government would, quote, recognize a disarmed Palestine. Welcome back to the program, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, of course. Alex, last week, Prime Minister Carney announced he has a plan to direct Canada's response to the ongoing genocide Israel has and is visiting, has been and is visiting still upon Gaza and the occupied Palestinian territories. What's Mark come up with?
I think that what Mark Carney has come up with is essentially another stall tactic. You know, it was just a few days after a number of groups released a report showing, as you mentioned, that Canada is continuing to arm Israel despite public claims to the contrary by the government. So to say that they're going to recognize a Palestinian state on the condition that it's disarmed is really just a smokescreen. I mean, if Palestine were to become a country, who would defend it? It's facing a constant aggression from the Israeli government, backed by the United States, Canada, and other countries. So I think it's just a way of deflecting responsibility, trying to satisfy also a widespread public opinion in favor of Palestinian human rights. And it's nothing more than a smokescreen and a way to buy time, in my view.
Well, in British Columbia, we call that talk and log. But the Prime Minister says in his press release on his Palestine plan, he says, quote, the deepening suffering of Palestinians, or of civilians rather, leaves no room for delay in coordinating international action to support peace, security, and the dignity of human life. And then goes on to talk about preserving a two-state solution, which in the same release, he says, is no longer a tenable, quote, a tenable course of action. So it's a little, I'm a little confused by his ambivalence here.
Right, exactly. I mean, if there's no time left to delay, then where are the sanctions on the state of Israel? Why does Canada continue not just to send weapons, but also to maintain economic and diplomatic ties with Israel? I mean, people have been calling for years and years for Canada to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel for its treatment of the Palestinian people. And now, even with this genocide taking place, even with the case in the International Court of Justice, and with all of these images we're seeing from this live stream genocide, we're still left with only these little statements saying, oh, there's no time to wait, things have to change, but there's no concrete action there to back that up. And really what Mark Carney is saying is the minimum thing to satisfy a little bit the public opinion, mostly aimed at people who are not really that informed and not really paying that close attention, so that Canadians can think, oh, well, Canada did speak out, when in reality they continue to send the weapons, they continue to do economic business with Israel, and they continue to help it in its genocide.
Well, let's talk about the weapons in a second, but the UN General Assembly is due to meet next month, the 80th session of the UN, and Carney says that, again, that Canada is willing to recognize, he's following this trend of Western nations, as you mentioned, to recognize Palestinian sovereignty, but it's got some pretty steep conditions on Mr. Carney's part, though I'm not sure where he gets off putting these conditions down. But the primary among them is that the Palestinian Authority needs to commit to much-needed reforms, and President Abbas, he calls president for some bizarre reason, someone that hasn't been elected in almost 20 years, to reform the governance. But Carney is speaking here as though Palestine was a country already, a normal place, not a place that has been bombed to resemble nothing so much as Hiroshima on this date in 1945.
Yeah, well, I think that Carney's whole position here is designed to fail, because he knows that there's absolutely no way that the Palestinians are going to accept to disarm because of some hypothetical promise of accessing statehood. I mean, really, Canada could invoke pretty much any reason to change its position. So it's just a smokescreen. I mean, to say that they'll be recognized without any kind of security guarantee, without saying that, you know, is Canada going to go and defend Palestine against Israeli aggression after it's disarmed and has statehood? I doubt it. There's so many ways out for Canada and for some of the other countries that have made similar pledges that really it's just an empty promise.
Well, Anita Anand, the foreign minister now, she says she challenges the findings of the report of the, amongst other, the Arms Against Embargo Now and World Beyond War and others that came up with this report you mentioned just a week ago, that belies the government's claims, the Canadian government's claims of stopping its assistance, its military supply assistance to Israel. This is a lie that's been reiterated, as I mentioned in the introduction, by the previous government and now taken up again by this government. It's muddying the waters. How do people know what the truth is in this case? Did they or did they not? Are they or are they not still?
I think that the minister is engaging in deception. She's trying to make it sound like Canada is not sending these weapons when indeed they are. In fact, I interviewed a Canadian doctor who traveled to Gaza and worked at the European hospital there. And she said that she removed a bullet that was likely made by General Dynamics, which is a company that has three different factories in Quebec. Apparently, that type of shell is only made by them. And she has recently posted to social media saying that this report that was recently released confirmed what she had suspected. Her name is Sarah Lalonde, and people can maybe check her out on Facebook. She's made a pretty clear statement about that. So It's really unfortunate, and a lot of people don't realize, but there is a large arms industry functioning in both Quebec and Canada, and really there's thousands of people that wake up in Canada every morning and go to work making bombs and bullets, rockets, aircraft components that are being sent to Israel and used to kill people in Palestine, used to kill Palestinian children in particular. And, you know, it's very easy for the minister to engage in this kind of deception. But the fact is, Canada has no credibility on this. Canada describes itself as an ally of Israel. And so anything that the Canadian prime minister or minister say have to be examined under that lens. And it's also the issue here is that, the situation has been described as a genocide. And there's even laws in Canada against supporting or advocating for genocide, both in Canada and internationally. And so there's, this issue, kind of the elephant in the room, that some of these people that are making these decisions, that are signing these export permits and allowing this to happen, you know, could be worried about being on trial at some point in the future. And so they're trying to find a way to invoke deniability and trying to say that they had nothing to do with it when the arms continue to flow, the support continues to flow. And I don't think that the fact that Canada is talking about recognizing Palestine as a state under all of these conditions, including disarmament, is really much of a deterrent for Israel, because I'm sure that Israel can completely see through it and knows that the Palestinians will not disarm and that Canada will not recognize Palestine.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Alex Tyrrell. Alex is the longtime leader of the Green Party of Quebec. He's an activist and eco-socialist. He hosts the bilingual YouTube podcast show, help me with the pronunciation, Alex, La Mentalité Verte, or the eco
mindset. La Mentalité Verte.
Very good. And in on that show in English, I saw, as it's the eco mindset, its English version, your interview with Sarah Lalonde, the emergency room doctor who went to Gaza and it's a long interview, and she's given her testimony on what she saw there. And of course, it's a horror. It's a horror that the government of Canada now insists it's not assisting, at least militarily, with materials, something that, as we're talking about, has been proven to be less than true. But what they are doing, they're bombing Palestine with love, or at least they're bombing Palestine with food. And what we've seen is these so-called airdrop assistance programs that Canada is taking part in. Killed a nurse yesterday when a pallet of food fell on his tent. And up to 52 people, I read, have been killed in Gaza in a similar manner, by, you know, these big pallets coming out of the sky and landing on top of them.
Yeah, it's really incredible that it's come to this. And, you know, Canada tries to make it sound like they have no other way to get this aid there and this sort of thing. But the only reason that the aid is being dropped by airdrop is, for one, the imagery. They can show that, oh, look, there's, pallets with Canadian flags on them that are being dropped to help out the Palestinians, when in reality there's tons of aid trucks that are waiting at the Gaza border that are being stopped from entering by Israel. I mean, Israel's had this blockade going for years and years, stopping, as we saw Greta Thunberg get arrested and detained, trying to break the blockade with the Freedom Flotilla to Gaza. So, I mean, the only reason that they have to drop the aid is because Israel is blocking it. So where are the sanctions on Israel? If Israel is stopping Canadian aid from Israel, and Israel should be pressured, should have the full wet aid to enter. And it's not just a few, strongly worded statements. We have to have real action taken by Canada. And that means economic sanctions. We cannot continue to do business with the regime that is starving people, that's actively starving people in Gaza, that's allowing children to be killed by Israeli soldiers who are forced into the military at age 18 through forced military service and put into these circumstances. There's real evil that's at work here, and it's not just a few statements and a few of these dangerous aid packages, really, that are falling on people, that's they're going to give Canada a clean conscience on this. I mean, Canada's actions have enabled Israel to carry out what is taking place now. I mean, there's so many things that Canada could have done every step of the way to stop this from happening. And even within the Liberal government, you have some MPs and some cabinet ministers that are doing everything that they can to support Israel, right? And when you see even Anthony Housefather supporting Mark Carney's actions and his master plan, as you call it, it shows that that plan will not function. If it has the support of a genocide supporter like Anthony Housefather, there's absolutely no chance that this plan will actually lead to any kind of concrete justice for the Palestinians.
As odious as Anthony Housefather's statements have been in that regard, he's not alone. As I mentioned, the entirety of the House of Commons seems to be either afraid to peep in any dissent of Israeli policies, or I don't know. Can you explain it? Is it the same in the Quebec legislature? Is there a uniformity of support for Israel's positions regarding what, or is there some daylight between Israel and humanity in that body?
Yeah, there are some voices in the Quebec Parliament that are supportive of Palestine, but they're not making it their number one issue either. And so that's unfortunate. But I mean, it's really the double standards are incredible. If you look at, for example, the issue of China with its Muslim minority Uyghur population, the Canadian Parliament condemned that as a genocide, despite an overwhelming lack of evidence and clarity on that question. Yet there's no declaration from the Parliament labeling what's taking place in Palestine as a genocide, despite overwhelming evidence, despite the International Court of Justice, and despite all of these images that we're seeing every single day coming from there. So, Canada has blood on its hands in this conflict. Canada is helping Israel. When Canada speaks in favor of Palestinian human rights, it's nothing more than a stall tactic. And of course, Quebec can have some politicians that are a little bit better, but the governing party is completely in support of Israel and refused to call for a ceasefire early on, and even decided to open a Quebec diplomatic office in Tel Aviv in the middle of this whole thing, and has refused to back up on that.
Well, and speaking of which, the mayor, Jeremy Levi of Hampstead, in a suburb of Montreal, he's been a fervent, I would say, supporter of Israel. And he says in a tweet, "Israel must strike first and strike hard, eradicating every security threat with relentless force. The mission must be relentless and unyielding until every adversary, including civilian supporters, fully grasps the magnitude of their defeat." This sounds like he's in the wrong province. It sounds like he's in the wrong country, rather, that Mayor Levi might be happier in a suburb of Tel Aviv.
I guess. I mean, it's really sad, to hear about him tweeting those kind of things. I mean, he's the mayor of this small suburb on the island of Montreal, and he's raised the Israeli flag at City Hall. And apparently the city is really badly run. There's all kinds of internal problems with discrimination of the employees and that sort of thing. And, what he's calling for is a genocide. It's similar to the kind of things that Hitler was saying over in Germany. So, to hear this kind of thing, and not just to hear it, but to also see that Canada's laws against the promotion of genocide are not being applied to this individual and others like him, is very unfortunate, and it shows how deep the double standards run.
Well, Mayor Jeremy's statement, too. I mean, some might say, well, if that was a statement from October 8th, or it might be understandable, passions running high. That
his position is well thought out, and it's been consistent the entire time. So, yeah, as you're saying, it's not just an emotional reaction the day of October 7th or the day after. It's something that's been sustained over a long period of time. And if anything, is becoming increasingly violent and increasingly aggressive as time goes by.
Well, and generally the idea, we don't know much about Quebec, at least I speak for myself, but in English Canada, I think it's safe in saying that most English Canadians aren't following the goings on in Quebec politics. What's your idea of the sentiment in regards to Israel-Palestine there? And do you think it's any different than the rest of the country?
I mean, look, I think that Quebec supports Palestine a little bit more than the rest of Canada, mostly because some of the Quebecois have, you know, their own quest for Quebec statehood and, you know, recognition of the Quebec nation. So there's maybe a little bit more sympathy for the Palestinian cause in Quebec compared to other parts of Canada where, you know, there isn't really a significant independence movement and people are not seeking statehood for those other provinces. So there is a little bit of a difference there, but it's not necessarily reflected that well through the politics. And for all the people who say that, like, Quebec should be independent, I'm not one of them, but for the people who say that, you know, the fact remains that the official position of the elected Quebec government is still in support of Israel. François Legault, our premier, has been a far stronger supporter of Israel than even the federal government has. So we've got our share of problems, too. You know, it's there might be a little bit more support for Palestine, but we're in the same political system and we're operating in a similar context. And furthermore, the media establishment within Quebec, like the Journal de Montréal and Quebeccorp and, you know, the French CBC, Radio Canada, all of these outlets are very much pro-Israel. They're constantly demonizing the Palestinians. They're constantly demonizing any kind of protest in favor of Palestine within Quebec. Even, you know, there were some pro-Palestine demonstrations which conclude with prayers in the street, and in response to that, François Legault, our premier, has proposed to ban prayers in the street, and he's even blamed these large pro-Palestinian protests on immigration and used it as an argument for why we should reduce immigration coming to Quebec. So, unfortunately, we have a government that's come to power using a lot of racial tropes and stereotypes, you know, promising to reduce immigration and, you know, passing laws that reaffirm French as, you know, sort of the only legitimate language in Quebec, taking rights away from minorities and painting Quebec's diversity as a threat to the survival of the Quebecois nation, as François Legault puts it. So, you know, it's very unfortunate. And as much as there is a bit of solidarity for the Palestinian people seeking statehood and recognition of their nation, there's still a lot of, you know, racist attitudes towards them. There's a lot of Islamophobia. And there's a lot of people in the political establishment that are unwilling to speak out because they feel that it will be a risk to their career and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of people that are silent, that are afraid and unwilling to take any kind of risk by speaking out. Hopefully we can get to a tipping point where people realize that speaking in favor of Palestine is the way for them to ensure their continued political career, and that really doing the opposite is what's going to be the liability. But a lot of these politicians and, you know, media figures and stuff like that, they're looking out for their own interests, and we haven't reached that tipping point yet. I mean, I follow one of Stephen Harper's former chiefs of staff, Dimitri Sundas. He's on Twitter, and he's constantly saying things like, oh, Hamas is responsible for the famine. They're the ones who are not allowing the aid to reach Palestinians. Like, this person is collaborating with, you know, this genocidal project. And really, I don't think that somebody, like, you know, he's a panelist on this French CBC's like political talk shows and stuff like that. I don't think that they would allow a pro-Palestinian talking head on their shows, you know, to be one of those commentators that appears on a panel discussion 5 days a week about Quebec politics. I don't think they'll allow a pro-Palestinian voice to be there. So really, you know, what I replied to him a few days ago was, you don't have a choice. You're not allowed to support Palestine with the position that you have. And it's like that for a lot of people. The Israel lobby is very strong within both Quebec and Canadian politics. You know, they have, for example, the Canadian Jewish Public Affairs Committee runs an internship program or a fellowship program for pro-Israel youth. And the goal of the program is to get them jobs in political parties and member of parliament's offices. They boast that hundreds of people who have gone through this program now work for members of parliament, and you have to be pro-Israel to get in, right? And once you get in there, they introduce you to a network of a bunch of other pro-Israel politicians and stuff like that, and it makes it much easier to move up and to get a job. So the support for Israel is deeply rooted within the Canadian political and media establishment. And it's only through like alternative media like your show and others that the pro-Palestinian point of view is able to be fully expressed. Through all mainstream media in Quebec and Canada, the pro-Palestinian point of view is filtered out, you know? It's watered down, it's misrepresented, it's badly represented. They pick and choose which guests they allow to come on. And if a person is too articulate for the Palestinian cause, they will not invite them. On the other hand, the door is wide open for supporters of Israel. They're given large audiences. They are presented with a very favorable language towards what they're saying. And that's the media environment that we're living in. You know, this mainstream media would have people think that, oh, this is two sides and neither side is right and this sort of thing. Like, you know, it's not that everything that Hamas and Palestine have done is perfect and everything. You know, they've killed some people too. But if you look at the death toll, is completely disproportionate there. It's like not even close. Like those 1,200 people that were killed on October 7th, you know, it's bad. But Israel's killed over 60,000, you know? So that's the whole definition there of Israeli supremacy and Jewish supremacy, is that for them, like, one Jewish life is worth like 50 Palestinian or more. You know, it's really incredible. And Canada and other countries like the United States are supporting this kind of thing. They're firm supporters of Israel. So I can have some talk about, you know, recognizing Palestine as a state, but the condition of disarmament is completely unrealistic. And, you know, people need to rise up to fight back against this, because as Canadians, it's being done in our name. Right. So we have, as individuals, even if we're not in the government, we didn't vote for those people and everything. What the Canadian government does on the international stage, they speak for us. And right now, what they're doing is supporting and enabling the genocide. So all Canadians have a responsibility to speak up and to try and stop the Canadian government from supporting this.
Well, I take heart in Montrealers coming out with Montrealer Eva Engler marching week in and week out 22 months into this. I remind the CBC and Radio Quebec, Radio Canada, rather, in Quebec, that after the Second War, media figures too appeared on trial and were punished for their complicity in what happened there. Thanks a lot for coming on, Alex, today and bringing us up to speed with what's going on from the Quebec point of view.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me for this very important discussion, and thank you for all the work that you're doing getting this message out there, because we certainly can't count on the mainstream media to broadcast this kind of point of view.
No, I'm counting on that. Thanks to Prasanna Shamaguthis. And remember to check out his documentary film, newly out, Neelan Unsilenced, at neelanunsilenced.com.
if anyone lives when the summer is done, if all of Hamas hands over their guns, if they give up the soldiers they've held so far, if they let Jared Kushner build a five-star resort on the ruins beside the Med, after all of the Palestinians are dead, now they say it's time to recognize Palestine.